This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. In our first segment, Dr. Cliff Ricketts is with us, and he's from MTSU's School of Agribusiness and Agriscience. And we have had him on before many times, and you always have unique ways of getting around. We've talked about the solar races back when you did those. That was a while back.
It's been a while.
I remember them going through town on the way out, somewhere out west, maybe the Salt Flats or something. I'm not sure where they were going.
Yeah, we raced at the Salt Flats, set the land speed record, held it for about 15 years in 1991.
Yeah, that has. But now this past week, I guess it was, you went from Tybee Island, Georgia, to California, to Long Beach, California, which is basically Los Angeles, on 2.15 gallons of gas. Not bad.
No, that's not bad. But that was 33 years in the making.
Okay, it didn't just happen.
It didn't just happen.
So I guess the thing that we're always asking, what do we do to make our car do that, or even close to it?
Well, I think there's a misunderstanding of exactly what we did. We didn't adjust the carburetor to get 1,000 miles per gallon. What actually happened was we did the first, probably the most awesome thing of the trip, we made a third of the way across the country from New Tidy Beach to Conway, Arkansas, of hydrogen from water separated or powered by the sun. So we made it a third of the way across the country off sun and water. Now, next year, if I continue to get funding from my outstanding sponsors and match from the university, and they've been very awesome for the last 20 years, we plan to make it coast to coast on hydrogen from water separated from the sun.
Now, you did this in a Toyota Prius, obviously specially equipped Toyota Prius.
We actually did it in three cars. We was planning on doing it in one, but a gentleman didn't fulfill a commitment to come in from Canada to finish up a vehicle. So 9 days before we were to leave, we had to use two backup vehicles. And also, we didn't get our storage tanks in from Canada. So we had to go to plans 3, 4, and 5 in order to pull it off. So actually, we used three Toyotas. We used a Toyota Prius, we used a Toyota Tercel, and then we used a second Toyota Prius to make it work.
And how close are we to the general public being able to purchase some of these things that you've done to make their vehicles more economical?
Well, there's some things we can do now. Now, please understand, I'm not promoting any car. There's a lot of hybrids out there. And what we have that I drive daily is a Toyota Prius hybrid. What it is, it's a standard Prius, but then we have what we call a plug-in component. Mm-hmm. So what that means is I can drive. I live in Mount Juliet, so I can drive daily right now off no gas of just plugging into the electric component. And then I also have the car converted to run off of ethanol, E95.
Uh-huh.
And then that conversion is practically less than $200. So that's another thing that can be done.
And that gas is a whole lot less expensive. Is that right?
Yeah. Now, admittedly, though, it has to be less expensive because E85 gets 25% less per gallon than gasoline does. Quite frankly, that was a surprise to me. Now, it has 10% less BTUs, and I knew it would get 10% less, but until I actually did the numbers, it gets 25% less. But really, my mission of this is just so we don't have to buy foreign oil. And yes, yeah, sometimes we have to give up and make a little bit of a sacrifice because I haven't watched the news as close lately since I've been on the road. Before I left on the trip, there was a little talk between Iran and Israel and the nuclear stuff. if a war was to break out in the Mideast, I have no doubt that gas would go exceed $10 per gallon. So there's some things that we're going to need to have in place. So if there's a national emergency, we've got a system in place.
We hear conversation, and you may be closer to this than anyone else, about gas being available, or rather oil being available in the United States itself. We're just not pumping it. We're not refining it.
You know, I had a big surprise this summer. I went to, I think it was Mitchell, South Dakota, and I tried to check into some of the cheaper hotels, good hotels, but cheaper rate hotels. It was $150. I got to ask, and I said, what's the deal here? They said, well, we've discovered oil. I said, what are you talking about? They said, yeah. And I'd read some reports and got some emails and didn't know whether there was truth or not, and I haven't heard much about it on the news. But they say they've discovered oil fields out in the Montana, South Dakota area that equals the Mideast. But I know one thing: Mitchell, South Dakota is a boom town because they are drilling for oil out there. So yeah, we do have oil in the United States.
But we're not being allowed to drill for it, are we?
Well, they're drilling there.
Oh, they are drilling there.
Yeah,
okay.
They're drilling there. So I think there are some protected areas that they don't want to drill, but they're drilling there. And again, it seems like it's escaped the news for some reason.
Well, that is strange.
It is.
So you have heard, just as we have enough oil here if we drilled for it and refined it.
Probably so.
And somebody said we had 200 years worth or something.
Maybe. I don't know.
So I guess really the thing we look at is the government saying you need to come up with another way to power your vehicles. And that's why they're leaving the gas up there, supposedly. But we don't have those out there. I mean, the best you can do, I guess, is the hybrids, which is around 35, 40 miles per gallon, but even at $6, $7, $8 a gallon, or maybe $10, whatever it might go to, that's still expensive.
It's still expensive.
And if they don't have one of those, man, you're just putting everything you get into fuel.
Right.
So what you're doing will basically help the entire economy.
Well, what I'm doing is three things. One, what I'm doing is environmentally clean. Now, I'm not, quote, an environmentalist, but I appreciate the environment. Mm-hmm. The second thing of what we do, I think, is the economy. If we can keep our money within the United States rather than spending it for foreign oil, it's going to help our economy. And you know what? I forgot the third thing right now, and I've said it 1,000 times. I guess that's what happens when you get to be 63.
I thought you were 29. But you hit there again on jobs.
I just remembered it.
Okay, what was the third one?
I think it's security. Because
security.
We got into war in the Mideast 20 years ago because mm-hmm. of the Iraq situation. They invaded Kuwait because they wanted the Persian Gulf. So if we can have our own fuel without needing their fuel, then we don't have to go to war just for fuel. Now I'm not against war, but. But just for that purpose, I think it has a national security purpose also in peace.
I heard one of our talk shows last week talking about what you had just said, jobs for Americans.
Right.
And they said if we drill here at home, not only is that keeping the money at home, but that's giving jobs to Americans. Mitchell, South Dakota, is that, or North Dakota? Which one?
It's South Dakota.
South Dakota, okay. People up there having jobs, obviously.
Jobs. They had built 500 houses in the last year, and 498 had already sold when I was there last year. Amazing.
That could be the next boom. That's Murfreesboro's competitor.
Yes.
So if we and there could be oil here. I don't know. Is there oil in this type of geography?
I have no idea. A thing that's probably going to be our next big alternative immediately is probably natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
The multi-billionaire T. Boone Pickens has really been pushing it for the last several years. And probably the next big thrust is natural gas. But you know what happens? And I'm going to make a prediction right here on your show. If we go to natural gas, and the reason we're going to natural gas is because it's in the lower $2 range. I predict that within a year and a half, it'll be just as high as gasoline will be. I can remember back when I was young, we went to diesel automobiles because diesel was cheaper. Now, diesel is almost $4 a gallon. Well, it's about 40 or 50 cents more per gallon than gasoline is. And we went to diesel automobiles because it was cheaper. So I think that'll probably be short-lived also.
Now, that's clean fuel, isn't it? Diesel is. Diesel is. A lot of people don't think of diesel being clean because it smells funny. But it is pretty clean, isn't it? Or did I get some wrong information?
You know, I really can't answer that question. I don't think... They've made diesels cleaner lately because they've taken the sulfur out of it, and it's caused some of the engines to lock up, blow, whatever, and you have to add an additive. But no, I don't see diesel as being a clean fuel.
Well, the reason I mention that, and
you may be right.
I know nothing about automobiles, but I had my car in for the auto emission checkup a few months ago. And there was an old diesel car in front of me. I mean, old diesel car. I mean, it looked, not only was it old, it looked its age. It was in bad shape. And the guy who was running the emission test on that did the test on my car. And while he was running mine, he just casually mentioned, I don't know why we have to do emission test on those cars. It doesn't matter how old they are, how bad they look, they always pass with flying colors. He says it's not just a little bit of passing. He said they're so far ahead of the others as far as not putting out pollutants, it doesn't even come close to.
Well, you're educating me.
So I don't know if he's right or not.
If he's the guy making the checks, I'm sure he's right.
So I thought, why don't other people know that? I mean, that's a secret that's being kept.
I think it is.
But at any rate, you know, the dollar is what people are looking at. And if it's costing more for diesel than regular gas, that's going to slow that down.
Right.
But I think
right.
You're right. If they go to natural gas, and their buses, aren't there buses using natural gas?
Yeah.
Have you used it yourself on any of your tests?
Yeah, we have a natural gas car.
Mm-hmm. Now, your bus at MTSU runs on French fry oil, is it, or something like that?
We have a bus that runs off of used cooking oil.
Yeah.
The way it's set up is you start it on diesel. The tank has a heater, and then as soon as you get it on diesel, the cooking oil will warm up, and then you flip a switch, and then it runs off the cooking oil. Now, you better turn that switch back on diesel before you turn it off. Or just like, you know, you leave bacon or sausage grease on a skillet on a stove, it'll solidify. So, it has to be fixed a certain way or it works just fine.
And do you think that's possible? I've heard other people talking about
that. You know, we have three Corvettes, also kind of show cars. One runs off ethanol, one runs off natural gas, and we have one that runs off the biodiesel. It's kind of a niche, and the only reason I got into it because people said, quote, you're the fuel expert, why don't you? So I did one of them. But what happened was is people were giving away their used cooking oil, but after so many people wanted it, they started charging for it. So that niche kind of shut down pretty quick. But now you can take You got to get the grease out of a deep fryer, mm-hmm. not that's just scraped off the top.
Okay,
stuff, but it's got to be clean and it's got to be filtered. There's a process you can send it through a thing called a fuel meister, and take out the glycerides, and you've got a fuel of equal value or equal runs an engine just as well as a diesel engine does. There is a cheaper process though, where you can take that cooking oil, add 10% kerosene to it, and an additive just out of an auto parts store, and you don't have to use any expensive process, and it works just fine. And I've got a neighbor that's doing it, and I told a guy at church about it, and he's doing it in his pickup truck. So no, it's very possible. Then again, it's a niche. Four or five in a city could do it, but not very many people could do it because there's not that much used cooking oil out there.
Now, last time you were on the radio with us, it seems like you mentioned that you were on the verge of offering some kind of a kit where people could convert their cars and save gas. I don't know how much gas. Has that ever come?
No. I may have said that, and I did try one, and guess what? It didn't work. There's a lot of stuff on the internet. The flat don't work. Mm-hmm. And I bought a system from a reputable company and put on an automobile with a grant through the university, not that much, probably $1,500. I bought the kit. You put water in it. You convert the water to hydrogen. You add it. Guess what? Didn't work. I mean, and sometimes that's what I call myself, as a gatekeeper. When I hear these things, I try them out, because I don't con or promote anything that don't work. And it didn't work. I even went and spoke at a convention of these people that were doing these water conversions in Tampa. And I got up in front of the group and I says, listen, I'm here for two reasons. One, for somebody to show me one of these things that works. And two, if it does work, to show me how it does work so I can tell other people. Guess what? There were 500 people there, and I never got a follow-up phone call. They flat don't work.
You also hear about...
But let me follow
okay,
up.
Okay, sure.
I think people think they work, uh-huh, because when you do a research, you do everything you can to make it work. You could do that same thing if you didn't do anything. Last fall, a year ago, we drove across the state on nothing but sun and water, hydrogen from water. Started in Bristol, Virginia, and went to West Memphis, Arkansas. And one of my students followed me along in his diesel truck. He says, man, I got 18 miles per gallon. He usually gets 11. So we can say, if you follow a hydrogen car across the state, you can increase 7 miles per gallon. No, he usually drives 80 and he drove 60. and that's what happens when people put these devices on. They want to make them work and get 25% extra. They'd get 25% extra anyway.
Just because they improve their driving, they slow down.
Right, exactly.
So if we did slow down, we would increase the mileage of whatever car we're.
And it's anybody's business what they do. But don't buy a gas guzzler that gets 12 miles per gallon and you pay $45,000 for the vehicle and then you gripe about the price of gas. There's a commercial on TV now that's advertising a 47 mile per gallon car at $100 a month. Now, I don't know if it's a true commercial or not. That's where you go. And then look at the money you could take between $100 a month and $350 a month. There's some common sense things people need to start with rather than buying a big vehicle. Again, it's their business. But
what about the person, though, who has a gas guzzler? It's paid for, mm-hmm, or almost paid for. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're upside down in their payments and they can't, mm-hmm, sell it because they can't get out from under that debt. Mm-hmm. It's a gas guzzler. They're stuck with it. And they're facing these rising gas prices. What can they do? I mean, they're stuck.
I can't answer that question.
I mean, there's no...
And we have to have some gas guzzlers. I've got one of them. I'm still live on my home farm, and I've got one that gets 12 miles per gallon. But guess what? I have to haul feed. I have to haul cattle. I have to do things. So there are businesses. There are times when you have to have those things.
So the only solution to that is for the gas price to go down.
Yeah.
And there is a solution for that, from what you're saying, right out there in Mitchell, South Dakota.
From what I saw in Mitchell, South Dakota, they are drilling, and it's big time.
American oil. And for the oil companies not to stick it to us,
right,
on the prices.
Another thing shocked me that I couldn't believe. I remember years ago there was such a big deal when the Alaska pipeline was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went to Alaska a couple of times about 7-8 years ago, and I couldn't believe it. you know, that Alaskan gas was not coming to America. It was going back to the, to Asia.
I heard we are exporting more gas than
we were.
We
exporting the gas still. That come out of the Alaskan pipeline to Asia because they could get more for it than keeping here in the United States.
And we buy ours from the Middle East, and whenever something
yes.
happens over there, we say, oh, I'm sorry, they've got yeah. a crisis over there. We can't get enough gas. And yet we're sending our gas
yes.
to Asia.
Just not right, is it?
It does not comprehend. Let's look at the electric vehicle. You say you have a battery on your Prius, and you're able to drive from Mount Juliet to Murfreesboro.
Yeah, the car, matter of fact, that I'm driving today, so I'm not a hypocrite. I actually drive this stuff. I have a Prius that runs off of four different fuels.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it runs off gas. But it also is an electric vehicle. It's called a plug-in hybrid is what it's called.
And I think they're coming out with one of those later this year, aren't they?
Prius is coming out. Los Angeles suburb. I spoke to the Toyota people out there. They hosted me, and they're coming out one, but it only has a 15-mile range.
Oh, that's a tad.
Well, for me, it seems wrong because I still live out in a rural area. But their statistics is most of the people. I heard the percentages, but I forgot what it was. But
mm-hmm.
probably like 40-50% of the people live within 15 miles from work. So if they drive to work. Drive home, you know, and we can start providing some infrastructure for the plug-ins would be great too. I went to Fairbanks, Alaska, and I went on their college campus, and about every place had a plug-in. I says, why? They say, well, in the wintertime it gets a minus 50, and you just plug in for the block heaters for the engine to start. Well, I mean, they use it for a different reason, but when we start getting these plug-ins, we start needing an infrastructure just like a parking meter where you put in a dollar, a quarter, and you know it charges it for X and whatever, and you get in, you come back home, and then you plug it into your own thing.
So yours, instead of getting 15 miles, what is it, 30, 40 miles to Mount
well,
Juliet?
Well, actually, I'm going to brag a little bit, and I don't usually brag. I think I got
That's
the most
okay.
awesome vehicle in the world. And I told the Toyota people, and I think they agreed with me, because it actually gets, believe it or not, it gets 100 miles.
You're kidding.
No, but I got to explain it a little
okay.
bit. I got the plug-in pack that got a 50-mile range.
Okay.
But it really didn't get 50. It got 37. But these lithium iron phosphate batteries are different. If you pull over for 10 minutes and let them rest, you'll get 7 more miles. Stop another 10 minutes, you can get 7 more miles. So yeah, you can get 50, but realistically you get 37.
So do you pull over and rest on the way in?
Well, I don't need to.
Okay.
But I was seeing, testing and researching to see what the range was. So I'm 27 miles from work, so I have no problem. I can drive in, plug up, drive home, plug up, I'm no problem. But I did want to see if it would get 50. And so now the guy didn't lie to me, it gets 50, but it don't get it constant. So yeah, I have done that and let it rest.
For people who try to convert, I mean, there are other people who are, you know, automobile inclined like you are and have the knowledge maybe to do some of these things. Where do you put this battery?
These batteries went where the spare tire went. So
you don't need that.
Well, I put the spare tire in the back seat, but
and the wife, she let you do that.
Yeah, she okay. let me do that. Now, after working this system with the 50-mile range, I got a second system. I think it's the only one in the world like it. So I
okay.
had the gentleman to come back from San Francisco to put that in. So he put another pack in, and the same thing. Yeah, it has a 100-mile range, but realistically, it has about a 75-mile range. But
so it's you have that, the electric,
yeah.
plus the gas backup?
No.
No?
The second stage is now I haven't got this completely done on the car yet. That's why I took three cars on the trip across the country instead of one, because I told you the gentleman from Canada wasn't able to come in and finish that. So phase two, this car, after it runs off of 75 miles off electric, it will run about 250 miles off hydrogen from water. So the second backup is hydrogen from water. The same car will also then run off ethanol. The same vehicle will also run off gas then. So it runs off four different fuels.
Has Toyota expressed an interest in doing some of the things you're doing for the public?
No, you know, I heard years ago it's kind of a thing with the automobile companies. If we didn't invent it here, we're not interested. So I think at some point, someplace, they may be interested. Matter of fact, the same Toyota dealership in the suburbs of L.A., between L.A. and Long Beach, has invited me back, and they're going to have the headquarter people from Toyota there next year to see our vehicle and stuff. Yeah, and you know, I put my vehicle on display, and they'll say, oh, by the fact, the hydrogen tank is in the back seat. They say, oh, where do you put your groceries? Well, that's trivia. You know, if I designed my own vehicle, it would be something similar to a small four-door pickup truck with a small bed. So you can design a vehicle easily. Some like an SUV type arrangement, so you could put this extra stuff in there and still have a 5-6 passenger vehicle.
Now, anybody who has been in this area for any amount of time knows that Dr. Ricketts has for decades been in the limelight of creating alternative fuel vehicles, and it really puts the spotlight on MTSU, which is phenomenal. You're about to leave in just a few minutes for a trip with a state representative. Is there a chance that some of these things that you've been working on for years, I mean, we've got the auto industry here in Tennessee, in Middle Tennessee now, and in all of Tennessee, but strong in Middle Tennessee. Is there a chance that some of these things you're doing, they can use and MTSU can get some glory?
My prediction is... necessity is the mother of invention. There is absolutely nothing at 250 gas you can do. There's a little that you can do with $3 gas. My prediction is if gas gets over $5 a gallon, then there are people who get very, very interested real quick. So, you know, right now it's just right at the borderline. It's not hardly worth changing over maybe to something else. To be quite honest, the hydrogen system that I use is the best I can figure is about 475. So it's still a little bit away. But again, my issue is not as much money is a time of a national emergency. Oh my gosh, what would we do? And that's my whole thing.
So we have to get there.
We have to get there, yeah.
We got to bring the
but
people to
the
needs.
But if we wait until it gets to 475 and nobody's done nothing, we're going to be in bad shape in this country. So my whole thing is, if we get in bad shape, it's kind of like a life insurance. I don't want to cash in on my life insurance policy. I don't want to, well, my family. And I really don't want to cash in on this. But if we do, we've got a system in place so that can be cashed in on and used.
I want to thank you for joining us today. I know you have to get out of here, and I want to respect that. But I really thank you for joining us, but thank you even more for all that you do for MTSU, for this community, and for the entire United States.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Dr. Ricketts visiting with us today. And I tell you, Dr. Cliff Ricketts has done so much for the community. This is exciting hearing, and we'd like to have you back on again real soon.
Anytime.
You have a good day. Stay with us. Much more to come here on WGNS.
When you told me I can stay right here forever in your arms, and there ain't no way I'm letting you go now, and there ain't no way.
When severe weather strikes, we break in.
Meteorologist
giving you an exclusive weather eye forecast on WGNS Murfreesboro.
Ford of Murfreesboro is an official dealer for the Mustang Roush. Roush, the Art of Performance Engineering.
Ford of Murfreesboro is now your Roush Performance dealer. Visit their showroom at 1550 Northwest Broad Street today at the intersection of Broad and Northfield. Come test drive one and take home a new 540 horsepower 2012 Stage 3 Mustang from Roush. Available at Ford of Murfreesboro today. The Ford Mustang Roush at Ford of Murfreesboro.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. Looking for a new look? Update your gemstones by letting us remount your jewels into a new style. White gold, yellow gold, vintage, modern. Let Bell Jewelers help you design a special piece with your old gemstones, or let our award-winning jeweler, Bob Lanier, custom make a fabulous piece just for you.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots.
Quality automotive repair service and repair at honest, fair prices. Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad Street, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Call 896-1407. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning. We still have quite a bit of congestion on I-24 as folks make their way into the Midtown Nashville area. We had an accident earlier around the Bell Road exit, and that is still hampering traffic through that area. We see traffic easing just a bit on Highway 231 at I-24. Also still very busy, I-24 at Highway 96. Las Palmas Mexican Restaurant's been voted the best Mexican restaurant since 1990. Stop by for lunch or dinner online at LasPalmasMXRest.com. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
And, of course, we still have word of those brick-o blocks that are most of them off the road now, but right there on Broad coming into Murfreesboro, right around Clark Boulevard. They're near Kmart. WGNS News Time is 8:40. A look at the Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Partly sunny skies today as we warm into the mid-80s with winds out of the south staying light at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, under mostly cloudy skies, we cool back to a low of 60. I'm WGNS meteorologist Dave Perrin.
Right now, it's 55.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Now, FM 100.5 is louder, so you can listen longer. We've increased power to better serve you. This is WGNS, Murfreesboro.
And the chapel was empty as the bus station on Sunday, and she was sad in her rented gown. The preacher had his stock quotes hiding behind.
Welcome back. In this segment of our broadcast, we're talking with Kathy Kirchner. She's the registrar in the records office, and we're going to be talking about MTSU and the Vet Success Program. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us today. Pull that microphone up to you right up smack dab to your face, and let it be your good buddy for just a little bit there. I think it'll even pull up a lot higher. Yeah, there we go. You have to arm wrestle it and see who wins. Hopefully that will stay. Is that going to stay there? Okay. Tell us, first of all, what is this, what's the program all about, if you would?
Well, Vet Success was created back in 2009 by the Veterans Administration. And basically, it's to ease the transition for veterans from combat to campus. And it started out as a pilot program at South Florida. And then they took it to seven other universities, San Diego State, Cleveland State, Cleveland State University in Ohio. And it has served so far about 4,500 veterans.
And with the Middle East situation winding down, are you finding a large group of veterans coming in now wanting to continue their education?
We've had an increase in our veterans population for the past two falls. And in fact, that's probably why we were chosen. We're the first university in Tennessee to be chosen for this program. And when they were looking at universities across the country, they were looking at universities with veterans populations of, say, 800 to 1,200. And we've had about 1,000 over the past 2 years. Last June, our regional office sent out a report that indicated that we were the largest veteran population in the state of Tennessee.
Wow, that's really something to be proud of. What do you think is the draw to get? Is it the classes? Is it the friendliness of the campus? Well, what is it?
Well, I think it's all of that. I think we have a great location. We have some great programs. We have the aerospace program, recording industry. We have a good business program and concrete industry. And then I just think we have done a really good job of keeping that down-home family atmosphere as we've grown larger. So, we talk to students all the time and families who are just so impressed that we can work with students one student at a time.
Now, this is training the military personnel who are just out of the military, training them for jobs, for the working world. And as this occurs, are there any particular categories that there seem to be more interest in? I know we have, as you mentioned, the concrete area, the aerospace. A lot of these people, I guess, being in the military would be great for police opportunities. And you have a great school in crime and things of that sort. Which has a better name? What is it
criminal
called?
Criminal justice.
Criminal justice. Okay. I knew it wasn't the crime school.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I don't have any statistics to give you as to what majors our veterans are leaning toward. I think it's probably a wide variety. One of the things about this program is the person that's going to be on campus from the Veterans Administration, Heather Conrad, she will be working with veterans to help them transition into the campus life, but also we want to make sure that they graduate and that they eventually obtain employment. I mean, that should be, the main objective in this program.
Well, now, will she be there just for a short period of time to help them get started, or will she be a part of the campus from now on?
She will be on campus for the next 2 years. It's a two-year contract, and then we can re-up or re-sign it. Part of the deal was that we would provide an office on campus for Heather, and then the VA pays for equipment and supplies, and so basically our only expense is the providing the office.
So if the veterans who are taking advantage of this program have a particular problem that is something that deals with their military background, Heather will be there to help them walk through it. And is she trained in this area?
Heather has about 15 years experience dealing with veterans. And so she has been working with our vocational rehabilitation veterans. She'll bring that client case with her. We have about 80 veterans that fall into that category. And she will also be working with any other veterans that might have a need.
What challenges does a veteran student have that another student would not have?
Well, I think many times veterans are older than our student population, and so sometimes that can be feeling like they're a part of the student population or fitting in, or basically, you know, sometimes it can be intimidating. Veterans, one of the things about this program is Heather's going to be working with the veterans and helping them network, because veterans have life experiences that the rest of us don't have. And so not only will she be helping with veterans benefits, counseling, but helping veterans network across campus. We have a great student organization called Bravo Blue Raiders Veterans on campus, and she'll be working closely with Bravo, with the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee. It's a faculty committee, and we're going to be looking at different workshops. She'll probably have a role or create some type of an orientation for veterans. So, and then I think one of her goals is to maybe help identify, there are probably a lot of students on campus that are veterans that we don't know about. Maybe they're not getting GI benefits. So we'd like to reach out to that population as well.
So if you are a veteran, of whether you're getting GI benefits or not, you would be eligible for at least some advice through this program.
Right. I mean, there would be counseling opportunities. There may even be services or in the community or in the area that they're not even aware of that they're qualified or could take advantage of. Maybe services for their families, not just for them. So it's a great opportunity for our campus. It's a real honor to be chosen to be the first school in the state of Tennessee to be a veteran success school. Our school and what we do will sort of set the model for the rest of the universities across the state. And so our veterans will have the benefit of learning more about all the services that are available to them.
On this segment of our broadcast this morning, we're talking with Kathy Kirchner from Middle Tennessee State University. Yes, another first for MTSU. They have been chosen the first state in Tennessee, the first institution in Tennessee to be a part of the Vet Success Program. We will continue the conversation in just a moment. Stay right with us, won't you?
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
WeatherEye.
Partly sunny skies today as we warm into the mid-80s with winds out of the south staying light at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, under mostly cloudy skies, we cool back to a low of 60. I'm WGNS meteorologist Dave Perrin.
Right now, it's 55.
People ask me, how does Perry Bell sell first quality name brand furniture about half price every day at Bell Furniture? He's learned that if you buy in trailer truckload quantities, you save money. And then instead of making the displays look like a decorator magazine, he puts it all in one big room. That saves money too. Plus, it's only Perry Bell and Linda Ferris there. The overhead is down. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Family Staffing Solutions.
I do feel that I have been given the greatest gift. They have been over backwards to help me.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not.
For the older people that have family members that are struggling with this, please understand, you only have to call this number.
Family Staffing Solutions, 848-6774, online at familystaffing.com.
This is Kix Brooks from Brooks & Dunn, and you are listening to WGNS Talk Radio, Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Only in America.
And all other people, nothing to do, nothing to lose. And it's you and me, and all other people. And I don't know why I can't keep my eyes off of you.
Kathy Kirchner is with us this morning from Middle Tennessee State University. And on this segment of the broadcast, we're talking about vet success. Coming to Middle Tennessee State University. Actually, I guess it's already there, but our special addition to the university campus. When will Heather Conrad be there?
Well, Heather will actually be on campus a little bit next week. She starts officially, I think, the first week in April. She's already attended one of our Veterans and Military Affairs Committee meetings, and one of the things she'll be doing is working with that group, too. We have a really good faculty and administrator base at MTSU working behind the scenes to help our veterans. And so once Heather gets on campus, she's going to be spending some time getting to know our veteran faculty members better, our counseling and testing staff, financial aid, all of our different resources on campus so that we can all work together as a team, because that's really what this is all about, is the VA and MTSU working as a team on behalf of our veterans. So, and then once she gets here in early April, then we'll start looking at, you know, what we can do as far as orientation and things for our incoming veterans for this fall.
Now, you mentioned this is career counseling and things of this sort, not only for veterans who sign up through the Vet Success Program, but for veterans who are already students. When it comes to their graduation point, in the point in their career where they're graduating, do you also offer counseling in getting a job? I mean, the education's great, but if you don't match it with a job, something's lacked.
Well, we already have career and counseling services on campus. I think what Heather will bring is the training of working with veterans and how to... And this is an early intervention program. It's not just when you graduate helping someone find a job. From the very get-go, when they enter MTSU, working with them so that they stay on track, so they will graduate, and then helping them find a job, you know, giving them resources to go to find jobs, and whether it's employers that are veteran friendly as far as the background that a veteran might have that would work well or whatever. So I think having someone with that specific training in vocational and career counseling for a specific student population, I think is just awesome.
Now, as we look at veterans, oftentimes they're at a point in life where they also have a family. Is this going to bring an increase in family population to the campus? Because I know that was, you go back a few years and it was a big part of the campus population, family housing.
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I think veterans' families can really benefit from this program as well, because they will learn more about services that are available to them. And also there are a lot of community outreach programs for veterans and their families. And so I think the VA will be partnering with MTSU, but not only MTSU, but with the Murfreesboro community.
Let's go to the phones. You're on WGNS with Kathy Kirchner. How are you today? Hello? Did you have a question? Okay. The cat got their tongue. But that does happen sometimes. When people need to learn more about this, this may sound interesting to some family members who are listening right now, and they're thinking, well, I have a son or a daughter or someone, a close friend who's just getting out of the military. This sounds like it would be good for them. How can they learn more about this?
Well, Heather's email address is heather.conrad, C-O-N-R-A-D as in dog, at va.gov. Someone could go ahead and email her. Once she gets to campus, she'll have a phone number on our campus. We'll be sending out emails to our veterans population, but we'll also post more information about it on our military affairs website or our military center website. We'll also have information on the registrar's website. But if anyone has a specific question, they can feel free to call Heather, or they can call me and I'll get them linked up to the appropriate person.
Okay. And what is your phone number?
898-2600.
All righty. 898-2600. Very good. Kathy Kirchner visiting with us today, telling us about Vet Success that is on MTSU. MTSU is the first school in Tennessee, first college in Tennessee to be chosen for this program. 1,000 military veterans are on campus now, so that's phenomenal. Great service, another great service of MTSU. Kathy, thank you for joining
us
today. Stay with us. Much more to come here on WGNS, and I look forward to visiting with you tomorrow.